Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Don't eat the fruit thereof. I'm talking about taming the tongue. It is literally a matter of life or death. You may be seated. There's a unique verse that you'll never hear preached on. I've preached on it once, I think, from the book of Hosea, chapter 14, verse 2. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. And say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive unto us graciously, so we will render the calves of our lips. This is mentioned a few times in the Bible. Words spoken by us sometimes are spoken quite lightly. How many people have ever said things you wished you haven't said? I could write a book about things that I wished I hadn't said in or out of the pulpit. You know, sometimes I hear preachers saying stupid things, and I think, why would they say that? Then I remember some of the things I said. I remember about 30 years proposing capital punishment if you were arrested for a DWI. That was my feeling then, because I knew a little girl's 13 had got run over by a drunk driver, and I was so emotional. The next Sunday, I wanted them to put to death everybody that was arrested. And so I put that forth. As you know, it didn't get very far. But I've said a lot of things in my life that I wished I hadn't said. And I think one reason why we don't place enough emphasis on the power of words. Words are powerful. Powerful. Because of words, people are made and people are destroyed. Situations come to demise or come to fruition because of what people say. It might start with a thought, but very quickly it becomes a word, and from that word it comes an action. And so we speak them very lightly without a lot of significance sometimes. But God puts tremendous value on what we say. It's very serious with God. Take words with you and turn to God. There needs to be a little filter on our tongue. We're not made with one. I'm surprised that God didn't do that, but he didn't. Kind of like I've done a lot of television, a lot of radio, and you're usually on a time delay. You've got a split second there where if you say something that's obscene or something that's just crazy, they can stop that and delete that verse. We don't have that. So many times we wished we could take back what we've seen said, and we apologize, but even apologizing doesn't really bring it back. It might help some, but it doesn't bring it back. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Usually when we're angry, the first way we sin is what we say. Well, it's not always possible to pause, but if we could train ourselves, it would not only help us, it would help a lot of people from being hurt. Life and death is in the tongue, the Bible said. I believe that means that literally, supernaturally. I believe in the supernatural power of God. I believe in the spiritual things. I preached the other day about the natural man. We are supernatural people. Elisha, you remember, he prophesied in the Bible about tomorrow, about this time. And there was one man that stood there that was, what he said was just so unbelievable that he laughed and made fun of it and said, yeah, if the windows of heaven were opened up. But Elisha's words came true for him and the Samaritans, the people that heard them. But the man that mocked him with his words was trampled to death in the doorway of that opportunity. And so what you say and what you respond to what people say has a tremendous, tremendous effect. If you think I'm overemphasizing the power of the tongue, there's only two times in the Bible where Jesus showed amazement about faith. Two times. There was the Syrophoenician woman, and when Jesus heard her appeal to him, when he said, well, you know, this is not the right dispensation, said, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the table. He was so amazed that she could not be dissuaded, that her faith was so positive and so strong that he just could not dissuade her. He was amazed, not by what she did. He was amazed by what she said, that she simply could not be dissuaded. And then the second time, only two times in the Bible where Jesus was amazed. He was amazed when the centurion was there, and Jesus said, I'll be along soon. And he said, you don't need to come to my house. I'm unworthy, for you to come to my house, but I do understand authority. And if you would just say the word, my servant would be healed. And Jesus marveled. He was amazed and said, I haven't found so great a faith, no, not in all of Israel. So the two times that Jesus was amazed by faith is the times that he heard something come to his ear. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is listening to everything you say? I am confident that not many people believe that he's ever present, but he is. He's ever present. Not only does he never leave you nor forsake you, he hears every word that proceeds out of your mouth. And I'm appalled. You know, I'm a little naive. You can get real naive from a pulpit looking at people because people just look nice in church pews. They look nicer than they are. Ugliness just does not show up from this vantage point. Everybody looks angelic. I had no dream. I had no conception, no dream, no thought that saints of God would say what they said until they invented Facebook. I said, not that sweet little lady. Not that sweet little man. Now, I knew that they could do some things. I've told you a time or two in the old church 30 years ago when we had that big choir on the platform and we had, I don't know, one time maybe 75 or 100 choir. We had a lot of choir members, and I was on Walsham Road getting my daily chicken fix. I've kind of got weaned off of chicken, but I used to have a daily chicken fix, and it would be drumstick. Well, I had a guy here helping me named Brother Keith Shillette, and Keith and I would go to church's chicken every day. But I was by myself this day, and my driving habits are really wonderful, but some people don't perceive them to be that way. And so maybe I pulled out a little close in front of this lady, and I was getting my chicken leg ready to munch as I drove, and I heard a horn blare. I looked up, and I saw a woman, and she was telling me I was number one. And then I recognized she was one of our choir members. And then she recognized I was her pastor. I don't know who's the most embarrassed. I was so embarrassed to pastor her, and she was so embarrassed that I was her pastor. But I'll give her this. She showed back up at choir practice the next Sunday. All was forgiven by me, I hope by Jesus. But he hears what we say, whether we say it by sign language or whether it comes from our tongue. He hears what we say, and every word is powerful. It's life or death. And we literally, I told you my friend Darlene Bishop wrote that little book. It's not very big. But your life follows your words, and that is so true. Whatever you say is going to come to pass. And friend, when you really get, we talk about people getting hungry and desperate and thirsty. If you're hungry and desperate and thirsty for things in your life, they will become a part of your vocabulary in communication with other close friends, but mostly they will become a part of your communication with God and your prayer, and you won't say them once. You will say them repetitiously every day when you pray until it literally becomes a part of you, and you say it and you say it, and one day it happens. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot believe what I have faced in my life and how I've talked to God about it repetitiously. It became a part of my prayer ritual, and sooner or later it would show up and God would bring it to pass. Things involving life and death matters, health, cancer, sickness for myself, my family, other people, people in the church, involving millions of dollars, but literally speak it into existence. And so when Jesus says to the mountain, people kind of laugh at that. He said, say to the mountain. So, well, you know, that's just something silly. No, no. What he was saying was, this is the apex of faith. He said, I want to use the biggest thing. There wasn't any skyscrapers. The biggest thing there was a mountain. So Jesus said, I want to use the mountain. So he said, say to the mountain. And he gets very specific. He said, have faith. Say to the mountain, speak the impossible, nothing doubting. Believe those things that will come to pass. and you shall have them, whatever you say. Jesus said that. And ladies and gentlemen, I've been so many mountains in my life, but I've learned that I can literally speak to those mountains, and those mountains have to move. God has brought them to pass. This church building sits on this freeway because I just wouldn't quit saying it. And my words were pregnant with faith, and God's brought it to pass. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not through yet. I believe the greatest revival that has ever come to North America and the world has not yet manifest. I believe there is a revival of the power of the Holy Ghost and the name of Jesus and the Word of God this world has not seen. I don't get as disturbed as some people do about the problems of this world, because I believe the unsolvable problems of this world are simply a hook in the jaw of the unsaved to bring them to Christ. Sooner or later, most people don't come to Christ until they've tried everything else. And this world is running out of solutions, which tells me that any day now, there's going to be a revival breakthrough on this continent and around this world, that we're going to see what we've dreamed about and what the Bible prophesies about. But what we need now are intercessors that will pray it every day, that will speak it every day, that will speak to the mountains every day, and say, God, you're going to bring it to pass, because your word cannot return void. I believe in God's word. I believe it's the most powerful thing in the world. His word cannot return void. I'm going somewhere with this. God's word cannot return void. It's one of my favorite verses. Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. The clue to getting your prayers answered is getting them wrapped up in the Word of God, because the Word of God is so powerful. 30 years ago, I used to talk a lot about politics in the pulpit. I don't do that. Vote for whoever you want to. You're voting for a crumbling kingdom that's very temporal anyway. So I quit doing that. The reason why I did was in prayer. God told me, preach things that are eternal, son. And then he began to explain to me, you might be 100% correct about your opinion, about politics, or any other subject you want to talk about. But if it's not the word, it's not supernatural. He said, preach my word, because my word is supernatural. The word of God is supernatural. It literally causes things to be that were not. So he said, my word cannot return void once it's spoken out of my mouth. It cannot return void. It will accomplish that which I sent it. It cannot return to God without accomplishing that purpose. That is more than interesting. That is phenomenal. God's word has to accomplish before it can return. You understand John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ was the physical pronunciation, manifestation of the Word of God. And He walked on this earth. But keep this in mind. Put these two verses together. Isaiah 55 and 11. His word can't return void until it's accomplished the purpose which he sent it. Then put it together with John 1:14, and the word was made flesh. What does that tell you? That tells you that Jesus couldn't go home until he had accomplished the purpose that the Father had sent him on this planet. That's pretty exciting. And so when you read that, you have to go to Isaiah 53 and talk about what happened to him. How he was despised, a man of sorrows, bore our griefs, carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All of that was the purpose of Jesus. Jesus could not return to heaven until that happened, and he was the Word made flesh. You have to go and look at Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said. He had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the broken heart, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. When you put that together, Jesus could not go back to heaven until his mission was accomplished, until his mandate was fulfilled. He had to heal the brokenhearted. He had to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He had to preach the gospel to the poor. He had to preach deliverance to the captive. That all had to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, we have not decided who, but we have decided what is going to happen. There is going to be a revival because God's word said there was. Look at Joel chapter 2. Look at Acts chapter 2. There is going to be a worldwide revival, and God's Spirit is going to be poured out upon all flesh. Now, the who we don't know, but we know the what. God's word cannot return void until that is accomplished. What does that mean? When Jesus was hanging on that cross, the last words was, "It is finished." In other words, I have accomplished the mandate, and now I am free to go back. Well, I want to tell you that God's word has been sent to this world, and it is going to be fulfilled in somebody somewhere. Maybe not you, but somebody's going to get it. Well, friend, I want to tell you that I've moved to the head of the line, and I said, God, if your word is going to be accomplished in anybody, it's going to be accomplished in me. And the way I'm going to cause that to happen is I'm going to form my tongue and discipline my tongue. I'm going to call those things that be not as though they were. I'm going to call on heaven. I'm going to defy hell and say it's going to happen to me. It's going to happen here, and it's going to happen now. In the name of Jesus, the word of God is going to be manifested in my life. And when you get sick, that's what you need to do, is take your tongue as a mighty weapon and begin to call the word of God and say, flesh, line up with this word. If the word became the flesh for Christ to come to this earth, it does it not stand to reason that our goal and our objective is that we should make this word, this flesh, become the word? That's what I'm trying to do every day of my life, is to make my flesh conform to the word of God. The word of God says I am strong. The word of God says I am healed. I am healthy. The word of God says I am an overcomer. The word of God says I am made in his image. The word of God said no weapon. The word of God, make my flesh conform to the word of God until I open my mouth and it's not the words of Steve that comes out, but like Jesus said, it is written. And he might come against the words of Steve and be victorious, but Satan cannot come against the written word of God. And so I get it in my tongue. Instead of cursing and speculating and giving thoughts and ideas, I say, thus saith the Lord. This is what God said. I will live and not die. I will be well and not sick. I will dispel this cancer from my body. I will be victorious. I'll prosper and not be in poverty. Praise God. That's what it means to tame the tongue. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, it's going to work for somebody. Somebody is going to be healed. It might as well be you. Somebody is going to prosper. Somebody is going to come from the depths of poverty to reach the epitome of prosperity, because that's the word of God. It might as well be you. You need to claim it for yourself. Not somebody else, but me, Lord. I am claiming the word of God, and I'm going to claim it with my tongue. You say, well, I said it once. I'm not going to say it once. I'm going to say it every day. And I'm going to say it several times a day. And I'm going to say it every week and every month and every year. Praise God. I'm blessed and not cursed. I shall live and not die. I'm the head and not the tail. I am not overcome. I am an overcomer. Praise God. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to make my tongue create a world that I want to live in. I look at people and I don't want to live in their world. I don't want to live in their nasty house. I don't want to live in the confusion of their marriage. I don't want to indulge in their sin. But praise God, I have got the power to take my tongue. the tongue of a ready writer and take the word from the pages of God and create the world I want to live in. And it's a joy of power, and it is a life of righteousness. It's a life of divine health. It's a life of victory. It's a life of joy. It's a life of expedience. And friend, if you're going to talk negative, you're going to have a negative life. If you're going to talk curses, you're going to have a cursed life. If you're going to talk about other people and assassinate other people, you're going to be assassinated. If you're going to gossip, you're going to be gossiped against, whatever you speak. But praise God, if you will realize my tongue is literally an instrument of Almighty God. Life or death is in the tongue. I'm going to speak life. I'm going to speak power. I'm going to speak Holy Ghost. I'm going to speak victory. That's the reason why you need to learn to sing the Lord's song in a strange land. Somebody said there's no more lies that have been written per square inch than those old hymns that they used to write. And when you look at them, some of them are not very scriptural, and some of the new stuff is not either. When you get ready to sing, you need to lay it down as an overlay on the Word of God and say, do I really want this word to come to pass in my life? Or do I want to avoid this song? I want to sing something that's going to bring life to me. I'm going to speak something that's going to bring life to me. If you are critical of your boss, your job's not going to be any better. But if you learn to speak positively, your job's going to get better. If you want the church to grow, you speak life into your church. You speak what you want to see. Somebody said, one lady told me one time, she said, Pastor, I just see my husband. Said, he's just really a problem. I said, he's just a mean man. Said, I just see him. He curses me all the time, and I can just see him right now in my mind. Just what? And she named all the things. I said, you need to see him in another way. You need to see him in church, sitting on a pew. You need to see him with his hands upraised. You need to see him walking to an altar. You need to see him baptized in a baptistry. You need to see him speaking with tongues. You need to see your husband in a different way. And when you see it, you begin to speak it. And whatever you begin to speak, if you speak it with faith, and you speak it long enough, and you speak it powerfully enough, after a while, it's going to become a reality in your life. You literally can speak things into existence, ladies and gentlemen, and that's the reason why you need to develop a prayer language, pray in the Spirit. God will speak even things you haven't even thought about yet. Learn to pray positively, in faith, in English, in Spanish, and most of all, pray the Word of God. I remember a time in the 80s where the economy was so bad in San Antonio. Our portfolio went from a $12 square foot appraisal on our properties on this freeway. We didn't own near as much land then, but we owned quite a bit. It was appraised at $12 a foot, and almost overnight it went to 50 cents a square foot. The income dropped unbelievably, and I spent hours and days over in those prayer rooms praying the Scripture. And ladies and gentlemen, it didn't happen the first day or the second day or the 50th day. But I can tell you, looking back now, that everything I prayed has come to pass. And we no longer have a financial challenge. God is blessing us beyond our comprehension every week in this church financially. And we thank you for that, but we praise God for that. But it came because we would not use words like bankruptcy, filing bankruptcy, going to quit, can't pay. Becky and I used, one time we agreed, we're going to quit using the phrase, I can't afford that. Don't ever look at a car and say, I can't afford that car. Don't look at that dress, ladies, I can't afford that dress. That's a negative confession. So I choose not to spend my money this way at this time, but I'll be back. I'll be back. There is nothing that you cannot afford, because you've got a God that owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and the hills they stand on, ladies and gentlemen. Some of you have never really understood who you were. Your favorite song is Such a Wretch as I. You need to realize you ain't been a wretch for a long time. You're a queen in the kingdom of God. You're a king in the kingdom of God. God. You're a son of the Most High. Your father is wealthy. You are not a servant. The Bible said you're not a servant or a slave, but praise God, you are now a son of God. Study Galatians chapter 3. There is no difference between a child and a servant. So I'm neither a child and a servant. I'm a grown-up son of God. That means I got my driver's license. I can drive where I want to drive. I can eat what I want to eat. I can have what I want to have. How do you get that? By confessing who I am. Do you understand your identity in the Lord? You are made in His image. Praise God. He thought it not a sin to be equal with God. And Jesus said that He was our elder brother. You need to stand up and claim who you are and say, praise God, I'm going to paint a picture with my tongue. I'm going to declare a dream with my tongue. Let me tell you who I am. Let me tell you where I'm going. Let me tell you what I'm doing. And let me tell you what I possess. And let me define to you who my enemies are and how I'm going to put them under my heel, because God is on my side and no good thing can be withheld from me. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, lots of people got the blood of the Lamb part, but by the word of my testimony, you got to testify who you are. Look where the Lord brought you from. If you look back and see how far God has brought you, can't you look ahead and see how far God is going to take you? He's going to take you to places you've never been, to have things you've never had, to do things you've never done, to acquire things you never acquired. This is your best day. This is your finest hour. The church of the living God, lift up your head. Praise God. Give God some praise all over this house. All over this house. Give God some praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I've had some amazing miracles in my life, and some of them within the last 3 or 4 months. But praise God, right now, I'm sitting on top of a miracle that is about to happen for us that will be the biggest miracle that I've ever seen in my life. In fact, I don't know anybody that's ever had that biggest miracle, but praise God, I could have it within 10 days. I'm praying it every day. I'm confessing it every day. And I've got a God that is able to deliver it. Somebody said, that's impossible. But I say to the mountain, nothing doubting. And He said, whatever you say, believe you will receive it, and you shall have it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you one of the greatest assets you have is your tongue. If you will learn to tame it, harness it, and use it, and you will understand how effective it is. I talked about it the other day. You can call those things that be not as though they were. Just call them into existence because God really is on your side. God is cheering you on. God has got big expectations in you. You need to stand up and take a hold of it with both hands and say, God, you promised it. And God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter where you came from. It's not concerned about your gender. It doesn't matter about your race. It doesn't about your mama and daddy. It doesn't matter that you're the only believer from your family. Praise God, you've got an enlightenment now. Your eyes are open. The scales are off. When you look in the mirror of the Word of God, you say, I ain't what I used to be. Look at me now. I have become a giant in the hand of the living God, and I'm going to go forth with victory. Can you give God some praise in this house? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's some people, I'm getting ready. I've had major miracles in my life, every kind of miracle you could think from. Healing, when the doctors tell me something and then I have to apologize a week or two later. Major miracles. Major revival miracles. I've seen them all over North America. But praise God, I stand here to tell you that I ain't nearly through, that this is not the end for me. Praise God, I'm the Colonel Sanders of Pentecost. Colonel Sanders didn't hardly do anything until he turned 70. But praise God, he became something after that. Got one on every block. I don't care what your age is. It's not a matter of your seniority. You said, I only been in the church 3 months. It don't matter if you've been in it 3 months or 33 years. Praise God. It's the scales falling off your eyes and you realizing what God did for you, that he has put the super on your natural. You're born again. These signs are going to follow you. Miracles are going to come to pass. God is going to call you out and set you apart, and your kinfolk are going to say, I don't understand it. Of course you don't, because you're judging by the flesh, but I'm not walking in the flesh. I'm walking in the Holy Ghost. Signs and miracles and wonders are following me. The power of God is happening, and the best is yet to come. And I started to say it a moment ago, there are people in this building right now that are going to get a report from your doctor that you've been waiting for months, and it's come to pass, and the doctor is going to say my favorite saying, I don't know why. I don't know how. I love it when the unbeliever, and they say it to me all the time, I don't know how and I don't know why. I know the how and I know the why because I know the who. And praise God, God is getting ready to heal your blood pressure. God is getting ready to heal your heart. God is getting ready to heal your disease. He's just waiting for you to begin to confess it with your mouth and say, I believe the word of God. By your stripes, the word cannot return to heaven until it's healed me. The word can't return to heaven until it's saved my daughter. The word can't return to heaven until my family all knows God. Hallelujah! I'm claiming the greatest miracle that I've ever seen in my life for myself. But why let me be the Lone Ranger? Why don't we get this church like a posse where everybody gets involved in it, where you get what you need and your family gets what you need? As your faith is, be it, so be it unto you. Begin to claim your daughter saved. Begin to claim your son saved. Begin to claim your husband saved. Begin to claim your family saved. Begin to claim your bank account full. Begin to claim your body healed. Begin to claim this building packed to the rafters. Begin to claim the Holy Ghost falling like rain. Begin to claim signs and wonders. Begin to claim empty wheelchairs and discarded crutches. This is our finest hour. Can you stand on your feet and lift your hands and give God the praise tonight on a Wednesday night like it was a Sunday morning in the name of Jesus? Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I remember as a young man pray, and I remember God vividly, clearly, clarionly speaking to me as just a teenage preacher. And he said, son, if you will preach my word, I will confirm it with my spirit. I'm still holding on to that. It's not enough to preach sermons. It's more than sermononics. It's more than preaching a good idea and a theory and something that helps people. It's to declare the counsel of God until the Holy Ghost takes that word and causes it to accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. I was just a kid, about 17, I suppose. Didn't just have a few places to preach, just not hard anything, just getting started. And they asked me to preach a youth rally. I never will forget it. Struggling for something to preach as a kid. I went to the back of a Thompson Chain Bible. The back of a Thompson Chain Bible, if you go back and look, it's still there. And in the Thompson Chain, it said, the touches of the Lord. And it's talking about how Jesus touched people. There was the liberating touch where he liberated the demonic from Gadara. There was the saving touch when he saved Peter. There was the healing touch. You go through these things. And I was preaching to this little Pentecostal church. There's probably, as a youth rally, there's a couple hundred people there, I guess. And I was preaching. I was preaching on that healing touch. And there was a little lady sitting about five pews back in the aisle in a wheelchair. She was literally a legendary Pentecostal preacher that had had a stroke 2 or 3 years before. The church I was preaching in, she had pastored. But she couldn't hardly speak. She was shriveled up and contorted, sitting in that wheelchair. And I remember when I got to that healing touch, it was just so quiet in that building. I'm screaming and carrying on. Nobody's saying that. Just But we heard that little thin voice. She said, I'm being healed. And people looked over to her. She's a precious lady, late 60s. And they looked at her, and she did her little old crippled fingers begin to move. Her little hands begin to move. Her arms begin to stretch out. She began to rock in that wheelchair without any assistance for the first time in years. She put her feet down on that carpet of that little Pentecostal church, stepped out of that wheelchair and began to praise God, walking back and forth in front of that building. It turned that place totally upside down. It had been as dead as Lazarus in the tomb, but suddenly that place was alive. This thing about Pentecostal people, they're like possums. Sometimes they appear to be dead, but if they got the Holy Ghost in them, it's like Jesus in the boat. He's just asleep. some preacher was talking on Facebook, and I put my 2 cents worth in this week. He was talking about he wasn't getting any response when he preached in his church. I just put on there, I found out that we preachers get the response we deserve. He didn't like that. I'm sorry, sir. But it's true. But that place came alive. People got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized that night. People got healed. And it did pretty good for me because I'm not sure I had another night to preach. I'm not sure I had a schedule one more. I don't remember exactly, but probably not. I was just about 17. And I lined up, or I stood over there, and the pastors in that place lined up. There were 17 pastors in that building that night. I'm 17 years of age, and I booked 17 revivals. Every one of them wanted me. When I started, none of them wanted me. When I got through, they all wanted me. Friend, let me tell you, you're going to have some enemies in life, but when God gets through, all your enemies are going to want to be your friends because something big is fixing to happen to your life. Is there somebody in this building that wants to start this in your life tonight? You're not going to wait till Sunday. You're not going to wait till somebody else does it. You're going to step out and say, Pastor, I'm claiming the word to be accomplished in my life tonight. From this night forward on a Wednesday night, my life is going to be different in every way. Spiritually, physically, monetarily, every way is going to be different in my life. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris, you're a wonderful young guy. Praise God. But let me explain something to you. The anointing makes the difference. And you're already anointed. But God wants...